Today I'll be talking about factors associated with concurrent sexual partnerships among men who have sex with men, and I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge my co-authors on this paper, Catherine Ahrens, Susan Phillips, and Jeff Klausner. Concurrency is defined as having two or more sexual partners that overlap in time, and mathematical models have suggested that concurrency may be an important factor in creating and maintaining epidemic STD transmission within sexual networks. However, nearly all empiric studies have been conducted in heterosexual populations, and the results have been far from consistent. Some studies have shown that concurrent partnerships increase risk for STDs on an individual level, while others have suggested that there's no increased risk. There have been few studies that have been conducted among populations of men who have sex with men. The objectives of this analysis are to examine the relationship between concurrent sexual partnerships and STDs, with two specific questions that we were hoping to answer. The first is concurrency associated with an STD diagnosis? And the second, are there other demographic or behavioral risk factors that are associated with concurrency? Between June and August of 2007, MSM who were seeking care at San Francisco City Clinic, which is the only municipal STD clinic in San Francisco, were asked to complete a survey. We assessed concurrency using three questions. The first question was, how many men did you have anal sex with in the last 6 months? If more than one, we asked the patients, have you had anal sex with the same person more than once in the past 6 months? And if the answer to that was yes, have you had anal sex with anyone else between those fucks? For example, did you have sex with Joe and then Sam and then Joe again? I never thought that I'd be standing in a ballroom saying fuck into a microphone when I was a small boy. The results of this survey data were linked to clinical medical records, which included a wide variety of data. We had demographic information such as age, race, and self-described sexual orientation. We had condom use with anal sex partners, which we classified as either the patient had no anal sex, they only had protected sex, or there were some acts of unprotected anal sex. We have the number of sex partners, both male and female. We also examined HIV serosorting, which was, we used several data elements to create this variable. We looked at whether or not patients had any unprotected sex partners by their HIV status. We asked the patients whether or not they've had unprotected sex with HIV positives, HIV negatives, or HIV men of unknown status. And then we looked at the patient's HIV status. So a patient who was HIV positive, who said that they had unprotected sex with HIV positives, we considered to be serosorting. We also looked at drug use. We collect information on marijuana use, popper use, heroin, cocaine, and methamphetamine use. And we also looked at STD diagnosis. This was not by self-report. Because we were at the STD clinic, we could look into their medical records to see if they had a prior diagnosis. We looked at several ways that someone could have an STD, whether or not they were diagnosed with an STD at the visit they completed the survey, whether or not they were diagnosed with an STD in the 6 months prior to the survey, and then whether or not they had had an STD at the visit or 6 months prior. So we had three STD outcomes. From a statistical analysis perspective, on a univariate level, we looked at chi-square statistics and Wilcoxon rank sum, considering that most of the continuous variables are highly skewed. And from a multivariate perspective, we conducted logistic regression analyses and produced adjusted odds ratios and their corresponding 95% confidence limits. 468 MSM completed the survey. 156 reported less than two sexual partners, and 312 reported two or more. Among the group who reported two or more sex partners, 183 had concurrent partnerships, and 129 reported no concurrent partnerships. This group is the group that we looked at in this analysis. The prevalence of concurrency here, we estimated to be 39% among this population. Here are the univariate results. We found that concurrent partnerships as the outcome, here listed as CP, was associated with being white compared to being non-white. being self-described as gay versus non-gay, although the p-value is of borderline significance, an increased number of sexual partners, being HIV infected, and reporting serosorting. To continue the univariate results, we found that self-reported alcohol use was associated with concurrent partnerships. However, meth use was not. And those MSM who reported using poppers were more likely to be in concurrent partnerships. When we looked at STD diagnoses, I'm just reporting here, the current or in the last 6 months, so this is sort of the broadest net, none of the STD outcomes were associated with reporting concurrent partnerships. When we looked at a diagnosis at that visit, there was no association, and when we looked at in the last 6 months, there was no association. So no matter how we cut the data, STD outcomes were not associated with concurrent partnerships at the individual level. Here are the results of our multivariate analysis. White race was considered associated with concurrent partnerships, with MSM who were white being 80% higher odds of concurrent partnerships. Self-reported alcohol use, an increased number of male sexual partners, and reporting of serosorting. Again, in the multivariate analysis, current or prior STDs and HIV status were not associated with concurrency. So the mantra has been concurrency is bad, and we were thinking, but exactly who is it bad for? Our results suggest that maybe it's not so bad for the individual. So let's take a patient that we'll call Kyle, no relation to myself, who has concurrent partnerships with green, blue, and pink. Concurrency may not be important to my STD risk, but it actually may be more important to the network level of risk. Having concurrent partnerships is likely, or having an STD is likely more associated with a number of sexual partners and not necessarily the patterning of those partners. However, we think about things on a network level, concurrency is probably very important in how quickly an infection spreads through that network. There are several limitations to our analysis. We only used one measure of concurrency. However, recent papers have suggested that simple measures of concurrency are much more useful than things such as diaries, which people have problems completing and there's a lot of incomplete data. Additionally, this is a cross-sectional data, so we can't make any inferences about causality. And again, this is an STD clinic population in San Francisco. So it's likely there's likely limited generalizability to places outside of the STD clinic as well as maybe outside of San Francisco. So to summarize, among a clinic-based population of MSM, concurrency was associated with being white, using alcohol, practicing serosorting, and having a larger number of sex partners, however, was not associated with gonorrhea, chlamydia, syphilis, or HIV infection. Concurrency may be important at the network level and increase the speed at which an STD moves through a network. However, it may be less important to individual risk for STDs and HIV. I'd like to acknowledge a number of people, Robert Cohn and Ken Katz at the STD program, as well as Deborah Williams, Tasha Brewster, Serlina Chung, Wendy Ho, and Amalia Harkin, who is our wonderful registration staff who pestered people to complete the survey, as well as Dan Wolfeiler and Julia Marcus, who provided insight into this presentation. To echo your comments, I think this the things that you brought up, and I think the results of the study show that we are just beginning to really understand concurrency, and that it's much more complicated than just asking a question on a survey and then trying to correlate it with STD outcomes. And to echo what you said, we were not really surprised either, but we thought because perhaps maybe things haven't been looked at in MSM populations, maybe things were different. We know that MSM tend to have a larger number of sexual partners, and the gap lengths, I'm sure, within MSM populations compared to heterosexual are much smaller and more complicated. Great, thank you.